before you tonight, Lord. We're hungry for you. You are our daily bread. Feed us tonight. Let us feast upon whatever it is that you have for that morsel of life and energy that you have for us tonight. We want it. We thank you for it. We receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that if y'all may be seated, that if I'm lost, I know who left who. Amen? If I'm lost without him, then I know who left who. Praise the Lord. All right, if we can go ahead and receive the tithes and offerings for tonight. While someone is coming, I was told that there are a few goodies on the back desk. It looks like a calendar and a couple of pamphlets, a couple of bands honoring veterans. We have some left over, evidently, so right out there on the desk, if you need them or want them, you can pick them up after service. They are free, unless you want to give something. All right, Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor of giving to you. Let those that are determined to give with a joyful heart tonight be blessed beyond their wildest imaginations. Then we ask you to sanctify their blessed lives, and we thank you, ask you to sanctify the gift and the giver. Let that gift that was given tonight be used according to your purposes and will, and that be sanctified and grown for you. We thank you that it's done in Jesus' name. Amen. You have something going back there? My wife doesn't like that song.
Can shake, the sky come down, the mountains all fall to the ground, but I will fear none of these things. Shelter me, Lord, underneath your wing. Dark waters rise, thunder pounds, the wheels of war are going round. And all the walls are crumbling. Shelter me, Lord, underneath your wing. Shelter me, Lord, underneath your wing. Hide me underneath your wing. Hide me deep inside your pour, the deluge breaks, the tempest roars, but in the storm, my spirit sings, oh, shelter me, Lord, underneath your wings, shelter me, Lord.
That song? I like that song. And it goes along with what I'm going to teach on tonight, which is I Am That I Am, Part 7. The title of it is, What Do You Say That I've Done? Or It Is Finished. and this may be the last one. It's a perfect number, perfect time. I was thinking as that he was singing that song, what he was doing was saying to himself and saying to whoever wants to listen that God has already provided him total safety. That's what he was saying. And he was listing off the things that could happen. But then his statement was, this is what God has done. He's provided me safety through all things. I want to study some scripture tonight. I'm going to tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm more convinced every day that goes by that God has given us this voice of dominion, this ability to call those things that I don't see yet as if I already do. That's what that scripture really interprets it. Call those things that aren't as if they already are because they already are. So if I say it a different way, I need to say it. The reason I'm calling them this way is because I already know they're that way. Well, do you see it that way yet? No, I don't trust my eyes. No. My eyes are not the decider here. The Word of God, number one, is the rule. I'm the decider. Do you understand what I just said? The most amazing thing that God ever did in creation was He gave us the last word. He said it this way, you choose. I've provided life. You choose life or death. Blessings or curses. Now, why would He say that if He didn't mean it? Then why does the church operate on the assumption that we are at the mercy of life and death, blessings or curses? Some get it, some don't. God's got this big roulette table, and the numbers go by, and He throws the ball down, and whatever ball number, when our number comes up, it's the way it is. You're not going to find that in the Bible. You will not find that in the Word of God. I heard this statement this week, and it was, I remember, or was it last week? I wrote it down knowing that something was going to come out of it. That's just the way it is. It's a formula that we must understand. It's evil triumphs when good men or God's people do nothing. Evil triumphs when you and I do nothing. I want you to think about that for a second. Nothing brings evil. Doing nothing, idle hands are the devil's workshop. There's all kinds of old sayings that we can go back. But the truth of the matter is, if you are not doing something, you are doing something. You are allowing evil. You're actually encouraging evil into your life and others. Are you trying to teach us a doctrine of works? Yes. Yes, I am. I've heard enough about the doctrine of do nothing. It's not biblical. The doctrine of once you get saved, there's nothing else you have to do is a lie. Your Bible doesn't teach that, so I can openly call that a lie. Is it work? No, no. No more than going to bed when you're supposed to is work. No more than eating when you're supposed to is work. Every one of us, everyone that's ever been born, has a desire to do something. Nobody has a desire to do nothing. That is a grown or an adopted attitude, usually leading to an early death. Death of your finances, death of your family, death of everything physical around you. Evil triumphs when good men do nothing. Now, evil is trying to do something. You do know the devil is very faithful. His job is to, say it, kill, steal, and destroy. And he's very loyal and faithful. The only thing that I know for sure is God made me more than evil. Greater than evil. through Christ Jesus, I've already overcome it, but I have to be the enforcer. All right? In the United States, we have laws, right? And then we have those people that enforce the laws. Well, thank goodness ours is a better system. We have laws. It's called the Word of God. You can call it laws or you can call it formulas for success. But we're the enforcers. We're the enforcers. Say to this mountain, say something, and you are doing something. Most of our effort is, most of our work is what we say, or what we don't say in some cases. I'm going to go back to Mark. Let's start with that Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 20. I won't quote that any more than a million times in the future, because it's New Testament, it's out there, it's open, it's honest, and it's in your face. Now in the morning, this is referring to the fig tree that Jesus cursed, with his mouth and his words, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots in less than 24 hours. So what they saw was something that was impossible. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So now we know we can curse. Fig trees are things that are non-producing in our life. Verse 22, so Jesus answered him and said to them, what? Here is the entire formula for Christianity. There is nothing more complicated. There's nothing more simple. There's nothing stronger. There's nothing more than you need than this one statement. Jesus said it and he meant it. Have faith in God. Wait just a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. God didn't say that. God didn't say, curse the fig tree. So why are we having faith in God? I don't hear any answers. Because I am that I am, are the Son of God, are the second I am in the I am, said on his own abilities that God had given him. What's the faith in God about? That God backed up what he said. God backed up what he said. That's why we need to be careful about what we say that we're not sure about, and then we need to be not careful about what we're sure about. Have faith in God to do what you say. Whoa, did I put it a little different then? Have faith in God that he will do what you say, if you don't doubt. Let's read on. For assuredly I say to you, whoever... All right, how many whoever's are in here? Okay, well, some of you have opted to not be a whoever. That's a mistake. You need to be a whoever. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, whoever says to this problem, whoever says to this sickness, disease, whoever says in this hurdle that's in your way, whoever says to the problem that's in your way, be removed and cast into the sea. Why cast into the sea? One of the things that God has shown me very clearly is that if you just move the problem, you're going to meet it again. If you say, I don't like you there, but it's all right for you to stay there, then your next time around, you got to go there. So you can spend, the devil will have the rest of your life spent moving these stupid problems around. But if you cast them into the sea, it's not protruding anymore. It can't raise its head anymore. So there's two things you're doing. You're telling it what to do. It's got to get out of my way. And you're telling it where to go. And does not doubt that God didn't hear him. It does not doubt that maybe he was out of the will of God. He does not doubt that maybe that mountain was spiritual, that God put it there for a reason. There's all kinds of religious little thought processes you can go through to make sure you don't succeed. Be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Does not doubt, but believes. See, don't stop at does not doubt. You got to move on to believes. That those things he says, not wishes, not prays, not speaks in tongues. Because if you're speaking in tongues, the Bible says you don't know what you're saying. You got to know what you're saying or you can't believe it. It doesn't mean you can't speak in tongues and God gives you a revelation of what was just prayed. I'm not trying to go that direction. I'm just saying until you know, you don't know. But believes that those things he says will come to pass. What's the last six words there? Oh, that's great. Oh, is it? What was the last thing you just said? See, not everything that you say is good. Therefore, we have to curb our tongue. We have to watch that small thing that moves big ships. He will have whatever he says. If God has said it, this is God's rule, right? If God has said it, do you think he intends to have what he says? We're in his likeness and image, right? So if we look in the Word of God and say, by his stripes I'm healed, that was his words. And I believe them enough to make them my words. But I'm not going to have it until they're my words. I can't print that piece of paper 50 times and stick it in all the walls of my house and say, now it's done. I got to stick it in my heart. It has to be what I say. And I have to not doubt and I have to believe it. You know why? Well, we'll find out. Verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. Let me say it even better. Believe that you have received them and you will have them. When? The minute you believe or when you see it. Here's the catch. We have them when we believe we have them, not when we see them. A simple example. When's the last time you saw anybody get saved? When's the last time you saw somebody go to heaven? When's the last time you saw somebody filled with the Holy Spirit? Don't tell me they ran around looked happy. You didn't see nothing but the outcome of that. Well, I heard their language change. No, that was evidence. That was a residual effect, a lasting effect of what happened that you didn't see. Okay? You got pregnant before you saw it. You had a kid before it came out. When did you have a kid? Way before you saw it. Most of it, somebody tells you you're pregnant, you go, you didn't say, just as I expected. But you began to make provisions for that word that you got. Right? Anybody ever had a kid in this place? Did you start making provisions for the word that you got? You're pregnant. You made them before you felt it, before you saw it, before you even understood it. You started making provisions for that. When did you have a baby? The minute you received the word. It became real to you. It became so real that it altered your lifestyle, altered how you thought, altered how you spoke. Why are we so slow on the uptake on this thing? This says this. There's three things I got to do if I want an outcome. No. I'm always going to get an outcome. If I want the correct outcome. It's what I told Scott the other day. When you take off, you're off. A landing is guaranteed. You are going to land. Now, you need to be in control of how you land, or you're still going to get a landing. Three things. You've got to believe what God says more than any evidence. When did the fig tree dry up to Jesus? He never looked back. It didn't say Jesus was checking out to see if the fig tree dried up, did it? Somebody else checked it out. You've got to believe what God says more than any evidence, more than any report, more than any feeling. Two, you must say what God says. Quit trying to be an original. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Are you an original? As soon as you become a child of God, you become original. When you adopt the Word of God as your speech, you will say it different than anybody else has ever said it. But it's still what God said. You've got to say what God says. And you will get what God says, either from His written Word or from revelation. What if I'm one of those that never hears God? Then you never read the Bible. It's that simple. You will not read the Bible and not hear God. Of course, the outflow of that is the more you read the Bible, the more you're going to hear God. And I don't mean because of the amount of words you read. It's because of the time you spend with Him. Number three, since you say what God says, you've got to believe what you say. Just like God said it. Well, why do I have to say it? Because you have not yet seen God stand right here and point His finger at you and say, "This is what I said." So the next best thing, if you can't get it from what He's written, is that you believe you more than God. Did that go? I'm telling you, the way you get a reprobate mind and the way you can blaspheme is by putting your words before God, because you believe what you say more than what God says. I hate to say that. I'm not trying to be mean here. But you really don't believe God until you start talking like Him. If you talk like you, then you don't believe God, because you're not trying to change. When you adopt the lifestyle saying, "I'm going to put me down and I'm going to build God up," then that's exactly what will happen. And the way you do that is start by correcting yourself. I did it a while ago. He'll have whatever He says. It should put a little shudder in here. Because now, if I'm going to get whatever I say, I better make sure whatever I say is what God says. And that way, I don't owe anybody anything but love. I don't owe them an apology. I don't owe them a repentance. I just owe them the truth. Love. Excuse me. Now, Moses was given an assignment, since we're still on I Am That I Am. Moses was given an assignment. First, he was chosen. All right, let me back up just a second. God saw a problem. And then He heard people complaining about the problem. When? When Moses figured it out? No. I don't know when, but it was before anybody knew about it. You can call it before the foundations, but it was definitely before your foundation. God heard about it, and you know what He did? He instantly had a plan. He had a plan. Listen carefully. He already had it finished before you even knew it started. And what did He have to do? Well, God's not, I've told you before, God's not coming down and doing it. So he said, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Moses, he doesn't know it yet, but I know it. So I'm going to tell him to do it, and he will do it. Now, do you think God would have made a mistake and chosen the guy that said, not me? Job needed to be done. He chose somebody that he knew would do it. Moses didn't even know yet that he would or could do it, and he chose him. So let's start with Exodus. I want to know how he did it. We need to know the formula to make God's work go forward. Is that right? And I am the I am that needs to understand it, say it, and do it. How about you? All right. Exodus 3, verse 7. And I've got several things here that I want to add per nearly every verse. And the Lord said, who said? I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, masters, for I know their sorrows. All right. He has seen it, number one. He heard it. I told you there was a progression here. He saw it before they knew it. Then he heard them crying out about it. And then he developed an intimate relationship with it. He knew it. He knew what? He felt and knew, became intimate with their feelings. Why? Because he knew it had to be finished. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father to explain our goofiness. Why? Because God has never been human. He don't understand human. To understand human, you got to sin. When did Jesus sin? When he took the whole sin upon the whole earth upon himself. That's when he became that required sinner. He never committed the sin, but he felt every feeling. That's when he became, he sinned more than anybody on the face of this earth. He became everybody's sin. That blows me away. I can't even imagine. You talk to me about seeing some really dirty things today. He saw every one of them and 10 jillion more. Blows me away. You know, if it had been you and I, we'd have seen all that. We'd have said, to hell with those people. They're not worth dying for. All right. A, or number one, if you want to take some good notes, God knows the problem. You need to understand, no matter what your situation is, no matter what the mountain is, no matter what the sickness, disease, the lack, want, need, no matter what it is, God already knows about it. And what you need to understand is if He knows, He's already finished it. He's just waiting for you to figure it out. Why would God not heal it before we find out about it? Because we have been given dominion. We will have the last word. We will take that problem and we'll take dominion over it, or it will take dominion over us. If we do nothing, it will dominate us. If we begin to say, this is what God says, so this is what I say, guess what? All right. Verse 8. God says, so I, in the form of I, have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up, now look at this, from that land, that oppressive bondage land. Please get this. This is, God never does a work without more than you can ever think or ask. And to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites yeah, and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, how can God do that if He hadn't already done it? He didn't say, I'm going to come down, check it out, and make a plan. He said, I have come to deliver them. Now listen, here's your hint. He not only knew the land He was going to take them from, He already knew the land He was going to take them to. Right? They didn't know that yet, but they're fixing to find it out if they'll just listen. Okay? I'm going to take you from bad, and I'm going to put you in good, far beyond anything you ever thought or asked. So number two, the victory has already come. When were they in the land of Canaan? When they believed it. Because the land of Canaan was prepared for them. Moses was prepared for them. The Red Sea was prepared for them. The dead soldiers were prepared for them. The gold and silver that they were going to take with them was prepared for them. All they needed to do was believe. Well, there's one more thing. They had to say it. Number two, the victory has already come. And the future is better than you can think or ask. When is that going to be real to you? When you begin to say it and believe it. If your victory has not already come, you are not believing properly. All right, verse 9. Now therefore, behold. Behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. And I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. All right, number 3. God knows all points, all sides, and all levels. You will never know all of the sides of an attack. You will never know how serious your bondage was if you believe in God. You will never know how much your death was sure. You will never see how sure your death was if you believe that God is your life. You say in Him, I'm under His wings. The wind can blow. The storms can rage. God knows all points and sides, and you need to stop trying to understand. Well, listen, I don't know if I can say to that mountain, be removed, because I don't understand how it could happen. Then just start your trek around. Climb over, because it's not moving. I'm going to say it more bluntly. If your miracle depends on your understanding, you will never have one. Let me say it another way. As soon as you know everything, you're God, and you don't need the big one. You just trust in you. Please, I don't want to know you as my God. Verse 10. Come now. I'm not coming to you. Come now. You're in bondage. I'm not coming to bondage. You're in slavery. I'm not going to become a slave so you can get it. I've done that through Jesus. It's not going to happen anymore. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, talking to Moses, I will send you to Pharaoh. Now, this is nobody going to be sent to the King of Kings as he thought he was. I'll send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, here's what God says. If you will believe what I tell you, I'm going to send you to him. Already, Pharaoh's saying, I'm fixing to have a big one. He'll squish me like a bug. That's what most of us say when we look at things that are bigger than us. But God didn't say that. He said, you're going to go, and I'm going to deliver. So with our action comes deliverance. Right? Well, I don't understand. Shut up! Nobody asks you to understand. He asks you to obey, to trust, believe. So number 4. I must believe that God believes that I am worthy and I am capable. I'm worthy of the job that I've been given. And I'm capable of the job that I've been given. By God's decision, not mine. Because the first thing that Moses really believed was, I can't do this. Just like every one of you that's ever been given an assignment. The devil is faithful to tell you how unworthy you are. Well, your job is to say, you're right, but God's more right, so I believe him over you. And just do that the rest of your life, and you'll be in good shape. Verse 11. But Moses said to God, me? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Let me remind you of something. When God gives you a word, He's already considered every option. If he thought, I preached a sermon one time, I probably should do it again, that what Moses saw here was a battle. Do you understand? A weak vessel going to the court of a strong vessel, and all he could see was loss. That's all Moses could see. But God had seen Moses and considered him to be a stronger vessel than the strong vessel. And he had a plan, and he's going to do the plan. Okay? God's going to do this plan. Moses just needs to say, I'm too. That's me. I'm going. He wasn't going until he said, I'm going. Your feelings are not important. I'm sorry, Oprah. I could give a flip about your feelings, because your feelings will cause you to do nothing, because you don't want to hurt anybody else's feelings. If you're so considerate of everybody else's feelings, you will never do anything for God. I want to be moved by compassion, but I want to be moved by the compassion of God, not yours. Anybody ever wants to see me in action, cry. It won't affect me at all. I never saw a tear accomplish anything. My car breaks down on the road, I can cry until it is underwater and it'll still break down. It'll be right there. Jesus said in this pity party, come, let us reason together. Whoa! Reason is better than compassion. How do I know that? Jesus said it. Come, let us reason together, not come, let us compassion together. He wasn't very compassionate when he looked at his best buddy and said, get behind me, Satan. Come on. This is life and death for eternity. We've got to handle it correctly. If I am supposed to cry with you, as Moses was to deliver the children of Egypt, or Israel out of Egypt, I will cry with you. I am capable of crying. Did you know that? But I'll only do it when God says so, not when you say so. Not when Oprah says so. By the way, God ordained, I flipped the TV on the other day, and Oprah was sitting there and saying, I do not practice what I preach. And I thought, really? I could have flown over at 40,000 feet and seen that one. God has already looked at your feelings. He's looked at the facts. He's looked at the job at hand. He's looked to see if you can handle it. And as soon as he's assayed all of this and assessed the situation, then he speaks. And believe me, the battle that he's sending, what I started to tell you, the battle that he's sending to you in, let me say it right, the battle that he's sending you into is already won, or he would never pick the fight. That's the main thing. I don't care what God asks you to do. Here's, we could start, if it's in the Word written, or if it's a revelation word, a directive word, if he tells you, walk into a buzzsaw, that means you've already defeated the buzzsaw, because God has already seen the victory. You just need to believe that. And you won't be so timid about starting to fight. You do understand that's what Moses did. He walked into the Pharaoh and picked a fight. Did he win? Okay. Verse 12. So he said, what did he say? What did God say to Moses? Who's going to be with him? God said that, right? Why? Because it's his word that he's going to put in his heart and go with. He has to be there. I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. God has already brought them out of Egypt. He's already set up the temple. He's already got them in the land flowing with milk and honey. And he's gradually easing Moses into it. Because it's just a little too much to handle all at once. I will never accomplish anything in God until I believe it's already done. Please. That's what do you say I've done is all about tonight. You will never accomplish anything in your life or anybody else's until you understand that the thing that you have said you believed in is already done. You're lost. You've got to know that it's already done. You cannot get up every morning and pray to God, please heal me, and you'll never be healed until you figure out that if, in Isaiah 53, it was already done. He revealed what he had decided before the foundations of the earth and waited to Isaiah to say it, and then confirmed in the New Testament. So you stop asking God to do things for you. You must believe that it's already done. How do you enforce it? Say what you believe. Say what you believe. Tell your friends and your enemies. Be bold about it. Don't talk to the devil. You're the devil. Talk to you. Get that thing under control. Saying what God wants you to say so that your life turns out in the land of milk and honey. Verse 13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, Moses said to God. Did you see that? Moses is getting convinced. Partially. Indeed, I'm going to do this, and this is what they're going to do. You're going to find out that's exactly what God has said all the way. I'm going to tell you this, and this is what's going to happen. Now, Moses is adopting that policy. Okay, I'm going to do it, God. But when I do it, the children of Israel, they're going to say, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. That's what Moses is going to say. They're going to say, what? And they say to me, what is his name? This is your test. What is his name? They didn't even know his name, but they're going to ask the question. What shall I say to them? The thing that we know about God is he's patient. Please, don't ever think that you're walking the plank with God, that you're on thin ice. If you ask one more question or say one more thing, God's patient. Why? Because he wants a job done. And he's picked you to do it. So he's got to work with you. What, to get the job done? No. So that you'll get the job done. I hope you got what I just said. But it's still finished. So if it takes a few days longer for you to get it convinced, it's still finished. Let me ask you something. Is there an end to the times as we know? Is there a final day, a final hour that's going to come when Jesus returns and things are going to change? You believe that. How do you believe that? You've never seen it. Says it? You believe it. Okay. I'll tell you, if you really read the book, it doesn't say it's on December the 25th, 2011. You know what it says? It says, when you've accomplished what I want you to accomplish. If you want to check me out, you try. But what you're going to find out is if you study, he doesn't tell you a time and a date. Why? Because he doesn't actually, it hasn't been programmed in yet. He knows, but he's not going to tell anybody. Why? I don't know why. You're not supposed to understand anything. All I know, or everything. All I know is that he's waiting on us before we get to see the job finished. He already knows, but we're not going to know until we know that it's going to happen, or it already has happened. See, the end of time's already happened. Why? It's already written in the book. It couldn't be written in there if it hadn't already happened. Now we have to have faith that it's happened. Well, if we don't, he can't come. You know, we need more faith so he can come on. I didn't say that. Never mind. Verse 14, and God said to Moses, tell him this, I am who I am, that I am, And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel. You shall say two things. His name is I Am. And I am here to tell you, I Am has sent me. What are we going to pull out of this one? It's plain and simple. God has given us all authority to do the work. He has given us the faith. We have to step up and believe. God said, I gave everybody faith, but I'm not going to make you believe. Now, did you hear what I just said? If you're telling God, as soon as you heal my left little pinky, I'm going to believe in you, you better cut off that pinky because it's not going to be healed. You're going to get your healing through believing. Why? Don't know why. Just know it's the way it is. God's given us all authority to do all work. He's given us faith. We must step up and believe. What? Believe that I have all authority to do all the work, and I have the faith to do it, and I believe. If I say that once, twice, dozens of times, I'm going to begin to believe it. And when I believe it, I may not have to say it quite so much. I may be actually doing the work by then. Okay, verse 15. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. He told him, you're going to send that, say that twice. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. You know what begins to happen when you declare your beliefs? Come on, this is not a hard question. I sit up here and I'm declaring my beliefs to you for what purpose? Is that all? I can write that down and mail it to you. I don't have to look at you anymore. It's so that you will believe. That's the foolishness of preaching. It's not because you need a preacher. Well, it is too. You need one. That's what God said. I don't understand that either. I know that God didn't need Moses to deliver the people. He could have done that without Moses. No, he couldn't. Well, why? Because he said so. He limited himself by saying, Moses, you're going to do it. Moses increased by believing he could. I'm here trying to convince you of this so that you will increase in what you do and what you believe. I want you to walk away from this place every Wednesday night and every other time saying, I believe I'll try that. Don't believe you're going to try nothing. Just do it. Just say it any way you can, but step out and start saying some things you have never said before and see if God doesn't back you up. We speak to help us and others. Verse 16. Here's where your work begins. Well, it starts by declaring. You understand that his work started by public declaration? You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Your testimony is where you've been, who you've talked to. Here's what I know. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, don't write them a letter, don't write it on chalkboard, say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. That means, Moses and God have already had this conversation. You tell them. I've seen, I've heard, I've done. Moses, you tell them that. So they'll know what's happening when they see it. Verse 17. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of milk and honey. Tell them simple. I'm going to get you out, and I'm taking you to a higher place, a better place than you've ever thought or asked. Tell them that. Now, if Moses is now truly convinced, then every word that he says is based on what he already knows, not what he's hoping for. Christians that spend most of the time hoping. He's not basing his action and his conversation on what he's hoping for. He's basing it on what he knows. And guess what he's trying to do? God has told them, convince the people that you know it's going to happen until they start saying we know it's going to happen. When they're packing their bags ready to go, then I'll know that they know. So, from that we will derive. If you truly believe that it's already been done, that it's finished. Jesus had a reason for saying it is finished. The reason he said it, because all was accomplished then. Everything was done. Finished. If we know that, you have no problems. You're never timid. We're never timid in telling others of the outcome without evidence. Now, did you hear me? You are not afraid to prophesy any longer, because the prophecy is not, I hope. The prophecy is, I'm going to tell you what I already know. You know you're saved? You mind telling anybody that? Well, you've got to do it without evidence. Because if somebody says, well, let me look at your heart and see if it's any different. Not today. You're going to believe what I say. I believe what I say, so you're going to. All right, verse 18. Look at this. God is still giving him information. When will they believe him? By that scripture, when do they believe him? After he gets out there and says something that he has no proof of. When you have said this, then they will heed your voice. You shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, that's Pharaoh, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. Which, by the way, they're also declaring that he's not their Lord. And now, please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the real God, because you're not it. What are they sacrificing for? It's an offering. These people are now convinced that they have something to go out and praise God about. When do you praise? Before it happens. After it happens. While it's happening. All the time. Verse 19. Listen what God tells Moses. You're going to do all of this. And this is what Pharaoh is going to do. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. Well, God, why are you telling me to just do what I tell you to do? Don't try to figure it out. All right, what's that saying? Don't get bogged down with rejection. It's part of the plan. You need a little bit. I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. He is sure that no matter what Pharaoh sees, he will not believe the word or the evidence. Now, please don't believe that God damned Pharaoh to prove something. The only reason he says this is because he's already seen to the end and knows what's going to happen. And he's nice enough to say, no matter what you see, you keep going. The outcome is already completed. What do you believe that God has done? Verse 20, by the way, side note, faith requires no fear. That's not a t-shirt. Don't go out and buy a no fear t-shirt and think you're in faith. I didn't say you're not going to have a thought once in a while. I said don't be afraid. Faith and fear, faith is real. Fear is anti-faith. It's faith in the wrong thing. Faith requires a knowing that no matter what I see or feel, it is finished. Even if you go through the valley of the shadow of death. Verse 20. Because he's going to reject you and tell you, no, 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 no. I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he'll have no choice. He will let you go. Why? Because God had already finished it. He knew it. Moses just needed to know it. The people needed to know it. Here's what how I would say it. If you and I will do the actions that take obedience without understanding, if we'll just do what we're told, God will do the work according to His already completed plan. He's just waiting for us to believe. Say we believe. Act like we believe. Verse 21. And I will give this people favor. See, here's something that Moses couldn't do. This is so cool. Moses is going to give, God is going to give the people favor because Moses is operating in faith. It's a good thing to be faithful, and it's a real good thing to hang around faithful people. You're both going to get blessed. Stay away from those people that don't know if they got tomorrow or not. Stay away from them. Stay away from those people that think they might die without a flu shot. That's not who you want to have a relationship with. You want to have a relationship with somebody that's challenging you. You need to have to look at them once in a while and say, you're believing for what? I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go. See, God's already telling them when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. Now, it's not a matter of you're going. You're going to be free. And I'm taking you to the land of milk and honey. He's telling them, I'm going to fill your hands with valuable stuff when you go. And they're going to like you for it. Don't try to understand it. Just receive. We must know that the work is done. We must know it's done now. Now listen. You know how I'm going to know that you know? When you start making plans like you know. If you know that you're... When I begin to act like the service is over, you're going to start reaching for your keys. You start giving your goods. When you're those people finally understand that they're out of here just by the word of God, they're going to start packing to leave. Before they ever see a contract, before they ever see proof, before they ever see evidence, they already... If I bought diapers before I ever had a baby, am I crazy? If I start believing God for a wife, and I start buying a double bed instead of a single, am I crazy? We'll get there. A little late, but we're going to get there. We must plan for what we know we're going to see. Okay? We got a plan. We start making provisions for what we know we're going to see before we ever see it. Okay, verse 22. But every woman shall ask of their neighbor, her neighbor. Now look at this. Everybody's got to operate in a little faith now. So what the people of God are going to do is walk up to the people that aren't of God and say, gimme, gimme, gimme. Will you give me your valuable stuff? Every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. In other words, you're going to plunder the Egyptians. Oh, don't you think that God likes the enemy? God is not dumb. He don't like people that are against Him. And He's proven it to you right here. When you leave, it's going to cost them hide, hair, and all. You're going to plunder them. Now, your faith you have to go ask your neighbor before it's time to give them your gold and silver. It's going to take the faith of everybody now. Just remember that God's plan will always end with the enemy losing. And we finish with more than what we started. That's just the way God is. Now, I've kind of loaded up on you tonight about what's required of you. You're going to have to learn to say some things before you sin. But I'm going to tell you what. Those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Led by the Spirit. There's a scripture that talks about when you don't know what to say, God will give you utterances. Now, we like to turn that into tongues, but that's not always what He's talking about. Sometimes, and I'm going to give you an example. Monday night, without me even waking up, I had some tremendous pain. And God didn't even allow me to wake up. But I could hear the Holy Spirit saying, "You don't have any pain. The job's already finished. You don't have any pain. You have to have something wrong to have pain. There's nothing wrong with you." The Holy Spirit's giving me utterances in my sleep. And it got to be so real. Who wants to wake up? This is a ministry going on. And when I got up, I went to my wife and said, "I don't hurt. I can't hurt. And that's already finished. I'm healed. How can I hurt? You can't hurt from nothing." And she's probably going, "Okay." I didn't say that. The Holy Spirit wants your battles to be won. And He will do anything it takes to convince you that it's done. All you have to do is believe. You can't be short of finances. God's already provided you far and above anything you've ever thought or asked. You can't be short. If there's a short there, it's a lie against the truth. You need to start saying so. Well, you're going to sound like an idiot. It's okay. Be a rich idiot instead of broke one. You can't be sick. Isaiah says so. God says so. You can't be poor because that's not the will of God for you. And the will has already accomplished the deed. You just need to learn to start saying what He says. Start saying what God says and stop saying what you think. Change the way you think so that you'll change the way you say. Nearly finished. Do not argue. Please listen to me. Do not argue with symptoms and lies. Don't go argue with your checkbook. Are you hearing me? Don't spend your time. That's a waste of time. It's what the enemy wants you to do. Dance around the living room and chant and argue with the symptoms. It says, say to the mountain. What? What God has said about the mountain. Psalms 107:20. Connie, give it to me. And He sent His word and healed them. Healed is against all sickness and all dis-ease. That's what Jesus said. He sent His word. He sent Jesus. He sent the written word. He sent the revelation word. And now you're the word if you want to get healed. He sent it to you to be healed. You just have to start saying it. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Whose destructions? They're yours until you run them out. Evil prevails when good men do nothing. So don't just sit there and say, "God's healing me." Oh, you're already... Say that you're healed. All right. Isaiah 53:5. When were your transgressions and your iniquities and your peace and your healing taken care of? You need to decide tonight. Don't put it off. When were they taken care of? This is Old Testament, Isaiah 53:5. But He was wounded. Who was wounded? We always say Jesus. God and Jesus were wounded. It hurt God, it hurt Jesus. Every stripe, every curse word, everything was straight at the heart of God. God had already seen the end of this thing. He'd already felt it all before it ever happened. Do you see that? And He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are already healed. What do you say? What do you say God has already done? We've already got you to say, I am that I am. I want you to know what I am has done, so that you begin to talk like I am. God doesn't go around saying, one of these days I'm going to heal you. So you quit saying, one of these days I'm going to be healed. And by His stripes, we are finished with the healing. You believe that? Well, then now what you're going to have to do is spend the rest of your life proving it. How long you want to live? It's the job, the devil's job to kill, steal, and destroy. God has sent His word to deliver you from all of that. What is your word? What is your word? I will know what your word is by listening to you. You will know what your word is by you listening to you. Catch yourself when your words are not right and repent and correct. Start knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that the work is done. Start making your steps walk in alignment with your believing. First your believer, then you got to make your tongue walk your belief. If you don't have a belief yet, don't say anything. When you finally have something to believe, start saying it. The most amazing thing. And it works. I'm promising you this works. Every time that pain tries to come back, like right now, I say, there's no source, there cannot be pain. The source was taken by the stripes, by the bruises. Now, do we believe that Jesus, God the Father, did not do a good enough work? All right, then I don't have a source. There's no source in me for pain. Therefore, I'll not tolerate it. No, that's not a pain. I mean, you don't look at me goofy. Just because you think you have a pain doesn't mean you have one. Don't believe everything your lying body tells you. Because then if you keep doing that, pretty soon it's going to tell you you're dying, and you will. You'll die before you get the job done. You didn't get a freebie in salvation. You signed up for a lifelong work. Let's get it done. Let's get it done. Have I excited you a little bit tonight? Well, I hope so, because I've strained my voice. Y'all stand. I couldn't have done it for a better group or a better reason. All right, the word has come to you. You've understood it better than you've ever understood it before. Now the test is coming. What do you know to be true? Because the test will be against what you know to be true. You will not be tricked. You will not be triumphed by trickery. A test will come to what you believe to be true. You make sure you're faithful to say what is true so that the test falls. What's the goal? To plunder the enemy. You want to be profitable in your life? Plunder the enemy. You want more gold and silver? Whip up more on the enemy with the word. I feel like jumping on the things now. Hey, listen, I carry a little more weight than he does. Y'all looking for the fight? If you get into a fight, the victory's already planned. It's finished. You need to understand. Oh, a fight. Yeah. One more medal. All hearts clear? Do we need to pray something for somebody tonight? I did good tonight. I have excited me. Therefore, I know that I did good. I've excited me. I've encouraged me. I've strengthened me. And believe me, I'm not the only one that can have this happen. You start preaching to yourself like I just preached to you, and you will bless some people around you. Now, they may try to get a butterfly net, but that's okay. You overcome butterfly nets too. Okay? Well, they thought Jesus was crazy. You're running in good company. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for the tests so that we can receive and operate in the victories. Thank you for your love. Thank you for that every word we spoke tonight, every especially the words that you wrote for us are true. That when Jesus said it is finished, that's what he meant. And he didn't want people arguing. He just wanted them to say what he said. It is finished. I have no source of poverty. I have no source of disease. I have no source of sickness. I have no source of timidity. I have no source of loss in any way. My ears are good. My eyes are good. My heart is good because I have a job to do for you. Thank you that your people know that. Thank you that their ears are attentive to your cry, that they have received your word tonight. And I say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they will leave here changed, empowered, emboldened, with instruction from you. And let it be with them like it was with me, that you speak to them tonight in their sleep and make them wake up in the morning excited, encouraged with the word of God coming off of their lips. And just so that they can defeat the enemy right before their eyes. Let them have a testimony that's far beyond anything they ever thought or asked. And let the world see that we have the real God. That we walk in favor. That we walk in power and authority. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, the word will not be stolen, but the enemy is defeated. This message was for a plan, for a purpose, and everybody's life here tonight. Receive it and thank God for it. We will accomplish your will. And everybody that agrees that it's done in Jesus' name, say amen. Thank you for staying with me. Thank you for your patience. Be blessed.